This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. I appreciate you tuning in and listening to The Voice of Tomorrow, and I hope it blesses your heart. I would encourage you to write to me for any reason regarding our program. I'd like to hear your comments about The Voice of Tomorrow, the message of the coming Kingdom of God, and I would encourage you to write to me at P.O. Box 420, Litchfield, Minnesota. The Voice of Tomorrow is part of Kingdom Ministries, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of God's coming kingdom. So that address again is Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 420, Litchfield, Minnesota, 55355. I'd like to have you get a Bible and a pen or pencil and a piece of paper for you to write down the verses that we're going to look at today. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, or you can just listen to the scriptures as they are read and go back and study these verses, edify yourself as you re-examine what I'm sharing with you today. Last week, I began sharing a passage from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and it was an unusual story that took place, an event in the life of the nation of Israel as they were in their wilderness wanderings. It came from Numbers 21, and we read last week from verses 4 through 9. If you want to write that down, Numbers 21, 4 through 9, and go back and re-examine that passage. The children of Israel were grumbling to Moses and to God, and of course, God does not like grumbling. A word that's often used in King James is murmuring. God doesn't like grumbling today. He didn't like it then. And I think we'll have to answer for the grumbling when we don't appreciate the things that the Creator of the universe, God Almighty, has provided for us. We are indeed a very blessed people. And just because God blesses us does not mean that we are not going to have trials, tribulations, or hard times. God is a God that is with us in all times and facets of our life. In this event, in Numbers chapter 21, the children of Israel were grumbling to God and to Moses as they went through the wilderness, not appreciating the things that God had provided. And as a result of their grumbling, God said, okay, that's it. He said, do you want to grumble? You're going to be punished for your grumbling if you don't want to stop. That's kind of a modern outlook on it. It's in verse 6 of chapter 21. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the people died. As a result, they received a punishment for their grumbling, for their lack of appreciation, and so forth. The people realized their mistake. They realized that they had sinned against God and you, it says in verse 7, because they grumbled and griped and complained against not only God, but against Moses. And they came to him and asked to have Moses intercede for them that the serpents might be taken away. So Moses did that. And God's instruction was to make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole or a standard, and so that when someone who was bitten by a serpent, if they would look at this serpent that was up on the pole or standard, the person wouldn't die, but that they would live. And so in verse 9, at the end of this passage, Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if any serpent bit any man, when he looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, this story has a New Testament connection, and I started this passage last week to bring us into the New Testament for what God has in store for us to learn about this type or anti-type, an event in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. There are a lot of types in the Scriptures. The Old Testament looks ahead to the New Testament. Events happen in the Old Testament, and sometimes similar events occur in the New Testament. We have a phrase today that history sometimes repeats itself. Events in the Old Testament were often to teach lessons, to guide and to direct people's thinking, and to prepare them for something that was new, going to be in the New Testament, something that was ahead, something for the future. If you would turn in your Bible and write down this passage, it's one of the most beloved of all passages in the Bible, and it's John chapter 3. Now, the beloved passage is chapter 3, verse 13, verse 16. I'm going to start with verse 14, because this is where the comparison and the relationship of that Old Testament passage in Numbers 21 takes place. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking, and in verse 14 he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes will in him have eternal life." Now, if you remember the story in Numbers 21, because the people had sinned, God sent through Moses a remedy for the sin that they had committed. And they were griping and grumbling against God and against Moses, and the fiery serpents were their punishment. And as the people realized their sin and asked for forgiveness, asked Moses to intercede on their behalf, God told Moses to make a serpent and put it on a pole or a standard. King James says a pole. New American Standard that I often use says a standard. And he held it up, and when people who were bitten by these serpents because of their sin, if they looked at this serpent on the pole, they would not die, but they would live. This is an event that foreshadowed something for the New Testament, for Jesus was God's remedy for man's sin from the Garden of Eden even to this day, that if people would accept Jesus Christ, God's only Son, that we would not have to die eternally, but that we would live. And so Jesus relates this story from the book of Numbers to the people in this chapter in John. And he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The serpent was lifted up. It was on this pole. It was lifted up. And when the people looked to the serpent and looked on the serpent that was held up, they did not die. They would be healed of their sin. And the comparison is that Jesus was going to be lifted up on the cross, that if whoever would look to him might have eternal life. Then the beloved passage in John 3 is verse 16. And it shows how much God cared. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is God's ideal. That is what God wants. This is what God has provided. God's love is so magnificent, so awesome, for a world that is sinful, a world that has gone astray, for a world of people that sometimes could care less if even God exists. Yet God still loves his people. That God gave his only begotten Son. The giving of Jesus was providing Jesus to die on the cross. The most dedicated and time in our church calendar, when we focus so much time and energy on this subject, is at Easter, during Holy Week, when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem on the triumphal entry and is rejected by the crowd. The crowd turns against him. He is crucified, and he dies an agonizing death. He's put on the cross to die. But God had this in mind from the beginning. Jesus needed to die so that you and I might have eternal life. Otherwise, we would die in our own sin. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says that we at our very best, our own righteousness at our very best, is but filthy rags. We can't buy salvation. We can't earn eternal life. There's nothing that we can do. We can't work hard enough to acquire it. My friend, eternal life is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God, and God wants to give you eternal life. But the condition to have eternal life is that you accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, and you have to accept God's Son as your Savior, the one that saved you from your sins, the one that died for you so you would not have to die eternally because of your own sin. God provided Jesus. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And often, most often in the Bible, when it talks about somebody perishing, this is talking about at the end of time that they would die for all eternity. God provided a remedy for that sin. That was Jesus Christ. He died that you and I might live. I'd like to encourage you to tune in next week for another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. I appreciate your cards, your letters, and write to me at the address that will be given at the end of the broadcast. Continue to study and read God's Word, because I want you to become truly a student of God's Word. May God bless.